Yes, Sally Lucas is back for Talking Travel. She's back from her holiday. Now, we're going to talk about that today, aren't we, Sally?
We certainly are.
So, for those that don't know, where did you go?
I went to New Zealand. It's mainly the South Island, except for a couple of days in Wellington, and I hadn't been to NZ for a long time. My God, I was blown away. I'd forgotten how beautiful New Zealand is. And so I'm going to be talking about New Zealand for the next few weeks, I think. I've got so much to discuss.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing all about it because I've never been and it's on my bucket list.
Well, you're going to have to go.
I will. There's too many places to go to.
So. I know. Your bucket list, I know. Since I've been away, it probably has not grown, but now I've met back, I'm going to make it grow
again. It's just going to grow and grow and grow. So there you go. This is Talking Travel on 2NURFM, and we are talking about New Zealand, Sally. Now,
yes.
What parts of New Zealand are we talking about today?
Basically, a little bit of the north, but just Wellington, mm-hmm. and the start of our self-drive holiday of the south. We did do a cruise of the Fiordland region, which was a 10-day cruise. We were away for just on 4 weeks, but I'll talk about that over the next couple of weeks because there was so much involved in that that it really will take me quite some time to explain and discuss everything that we did on that journey. But today we'll start with Wellington mm-hmm. and move down into the top half of the South Island. We'll see if we get down to the bottom or not. I'll see how I go.
Okay. So highlights of Wellington.
So Wellington, we went there mainly, we had heard from so many people about this beautiful museum called the Te Papa Museum, and it is absolutely superb. They put in an exhibition a few years back now for the Anzacs, and it was only supposed to be temporary, but it's been so popular that they've left it there. Well, I was blown away. It was the most moving, magnificent discussion and portrayal of what the Anzacs went through, because we always think of us, we forget about New Zealand, or they're just as much part of it, obviously Anzac. ANZ, we're all part of that. And the stories, some of their stories, the heroism, you know, it was just amazing. And the conditions, like the collection they had, I've never seen such a wide and varied collection of objects, uniforms, everything imaginable that you could. And all these letters that have come back, I was in tears, actually. And each section had an incredible, more than life-size statue of one of the heroes that you were going to see going through. And it was down to the veins and the skin and the hair. Whoever made these incredible sculptures was, you know, if there was blood, if there was, it was just amazing. So we spent a couple of hours there, but I reckon you could spend even more if you wished. But it's also a museum that has all about the Maori history as well, so you get to know about that. One of the longest longboats ever made is in there, which is this massive, huge longboat. But all sorts of interesting things for kids. Like they've got a really great kids' activity centre, a science centre, and so on. And so that was just one amazing thing we did, was we only had the 2 days there. The other thing we were recommended to do, which I didn't know about, was a conservation area called Zealandia. And what they've done there over the last, I forget how many years it is now, but this conservation society in New Zealand, they've selected birds that were becoming endangered. So they've got the money to fund this incredible acreage so that it's free from predators. And they've now increased all the bird life. And it's even in the city in Wellington now. These birds that you hadn't seen for years are just coming back,
right,
which is just amazing.
Are kiwis there?
They don't have the kiwis. They do have the kiwis there, but you can only see them at night. They only come out at night.
Right.
So unfortunately, that tour was booked. We couldn't get on that tour. So we just did a self-guide in the end in the afternoon, seeing as we couldn't get on because we were going the next day. Mm. But yes, you would be able to see kiwis there, and there is a guided tour you can do at night. But we saw all sorts of bird life there. One of them is the kaka, it's called, which is a large, huge parrot, which is olive brown and green, which is incredible. We saw a pied shag. We saw a tui, this beautiful blackbird with this white fluffy bit under its throat, which was really cute. The equivalent of our bellbirds. The smallest bird in New Zealand is called a rifleman, this tiny, weeny, weeny, tiny little bird.
How tiny are we talking?
Oh.
That looks about 5 centimetres based on what you're doing. Yeah,
absolutely tiny. And then they've got the reptile there, this rare reptile called the tuatara. And it's only in New Zealand, it's the only place in the world, like the kiwi. And it's the only living member of an ancient order of reptiles that evolved 220 million years ago. So they were there with the dinosaurs and everything else. But now they're only in New Zealand, as I said, and there's no close surviving relatives. They are it. And they're amazing. Like, some of them are only about, with a equivalent of 6 inches, what's that, about 15 centimetres long. But they can grow up to, the males can grow up to 50 to 60 centimetres and weigh up to a kilo, and the females about 45 centimetres. They look like a lizard. They look a little bit like a, I'm trying to think what sort of lizard they look like to explain. Not a water dragon, but one of the ones with like a frill neck without the frill, but...
Right, so like a salamander.
So their camouflage is amazing. Like, you'd almost think they're a stick, or a stone or something. Their closest living relatives are lizards and snakes, but they're not, but they're not a lizard or a snake. They're this ancient reptile that's one of its own. But they can live to 100 years old.
That's incredible.
And some of them, like, we saw them, and it was wonderful because you'd normally never probably see them in the wild, or they'd be very hard to find. But because they've got this whole area enclosed, which is wonderful, and you can do hikes and walks through there, there's little areas where you can picnic and so on. But they're just, it's one of the, it, the whole world has taken notice, apparently, of what New Zealand is doing here and how they have introduced bird life back into and revived the city with the bird life, not just by, saving them from extinction and they're now not endangered, but they're actually happy to live in the city as well as living in their lovely and, forested area. So that was quite something as well that we didn't know about. So that was a good learn that I had not heard about, and that was certainly worth it. They provide a free shuttle even from you up to the information centre to go up there, and it finishes, I think it finished a bit late for us to come back, but you can just get a shuttle to the top of the gondola and you can get the gondola back down into Wellington. So that was lovely. So, and then we went to Akaroa, which is originally a little French village, which is about an hour and a half's drive from Christchurch, and we went down there for the day and potted around there. But it was a rainy, miserable day, and it would have looked so nice if it was a lovely sunny day, because they take you out on dolphin cruises and whale watch cruises and all of that from that port. But it was a very miserable day that day. But it was just as well, because we were driving most of it, and it was still a pretty drive, again, mountainous. There's so many curly roads in New Zealand, I think you've hardly any straight ones. So you've got to be realised that when you're driving, it's continuous hairpins a lot of the time.
So watch the road.
Watch the road very carefully. And, of course, they don't have the big motorways we do. Most of it's single-line traffic. So, yes, you do have to be careful. But those first couple of days was just the start, We packed a lot just into those 2 days.
So. Sounds like it. Some great highlights
there. That's why I said
I'm
going to be
Wellington.
Gabbling for the next few weeks.
That's all right. Well, you've got another break to gabble in.
Yes.
We'll talk about that shortly on Talking Travel to NURFM. Next stop is the ferry from
Wellington to Picton, which is renowned as a lovely crossing. It's only just under 3 hours. And, it can get rough like any crossing can, but it wasn't. It was fine the day we went, and it was lovely. So we arrived in Picton, picked up a rental car to head off on our self-drive, which was we were doing a self-drive about 12 days at the South Island before we joined our 10-day cruise. So we went straight off. James, our son, had told us about this, another thing I didn't know about, because he's a pilot. He said, "Oh, Mum, he said, on your way from Picton down to Blenheim," he said, "you've got to go to the Amaka Aviation Heritage Centre."
Okay.
So we did, and that was an incredible exhibition of both originals that have been managed to gather, like one-offs in the world, planes that they've brought in and restored, or others they've built as replicas. And again, the amount of aircraft memorabilia was amazing, and a lot of that was donated by Peter Jackson.
Really?
Yes.
From Lord of the Rings?
Yes, so he's very involved in this museum, this heritage museum. And they have an air show there every 2 years as well. They have the Warbirds over Wanaka, as you know. That was on this year, but next year it'll be the air show over Omaka, which is between Picton and Blenheim. So it's not very far at all. So that was really worthwhile visiting. Again, extremely interesting. And yes, they've got some great museums, and they're mad into cars in New Zealand.
Are they?
But every town has a car museum or a motorbike.
That's good for car enthusiasts.
Yeah, car enthusiasts, really. Just about everywhere you go, you'll find, not in tiny towns, of course, but like most of the larger towns will have a car museum, as well, which is great. So then we continued, after visiting that lovely museum, across the Richmond mountain range to Nelson. Again, a very circuitous road. which is scenic, you know, which is beautiful because you're travelling over a mountain range, which is stunning. But again, like everywhere in the world, there's a lot of it where deforestation has occurred. So you've got some lovely heavy wooded areas and you'd have blank barren mountain. I mean, they do plant regrowth, but of course pine trees take years and years and years to grow. So it's a long time before that regrowth occurs. And anyway, we had an Airbnb there, which was lovely. It was perched up high. We had great views over the harbour of Nelson, which was lovely. And then we went on a drive the next day from Nelson up to a place right on the northwest of the South Island. Northwest? Yes, northwest, called Golden Bay.
Okay.
And it was beautiful. And again, twisting, turning roads all the way. And it's notable as well there. There's the town's called Takaka, which is at the end of the drive. And they once had, in just on the way in, a marble quarry, which is now defunct. But also there's limestone caves there that you can visit on the way as well.
Oh, that'd be nice.
To Golden Bay. So this has also been a location for many scenes from The Lord of the Rings.
Excellent.
Of course, because you can imagine with all this forestation and, you know, you could just imagine it being filmed there actually once you're driving through these areas. And then it's a real bohemian town, this Takaka, quirky little town with funny things written and quirky cafes and, you know, funny museums. And it was really a lot of fun. And I think the Kiwis do a lot of that. Like I wish we had some of these cafes at home. Like they were done up in such an interesting way, you know, to make it real fun.
And so it's great if you're a tourist.
Yeah, well, it was great. And that's the gateway there to the Abel Tasman National Park too, where you can do a lot of course, your hikes, your walks, and also kayaking. It's renowned for its good kayaking off Golden Bay as well. So there's lots to do there. They've got an original old movie theatre there as well. And then we went to this cafe called the Wholemeal Cafe. It was just incredible. They based it around the original old movie theatre. So they've got all the movie pictures and posters and everything to do with the old days of the movies, Marilyn Monroe's and, you know, all of that all posted around the wall. It was really, really interesting. Then we drove back across, of course, the mountains. You had to go back the same way to Nelson, and we visited a beautiful winery on the way, which is nice. There was incredible rock formations there as well. And then we went on to Blenheim, where we visited a couple of wineries, headed down the coast to Kaikoura, which is famous for the seals, the seal colony there, which is one of the reasons we stopped there. So that was great. And you haven't realised with the Christchurch earthquake, you forget that it wasn't just Christchurch that suffered. And when I got to Kaikoura, a lot of it I didn't recognise and the seal colony wasn't where I remembered it. And they said, no, the earthquake changed all that.
Right.
You know, and they're still like, oh, probably 2 hours up the coast from Christchurch, I guess, which isn't far, I guess, in the whole scheme of things. But we just heard so much about Christchurch that you forget that the other areas suffered as well.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting to go to, and we loved that. Driving past vineyards all the way, as I said, lovely. Every drive was lovely for different reasons. You know, it was just fantastic. It's full of motorhomes in New Zealand. Most people are travelling by motorhome now. I think it was amazing. Like it was motorhome. I don't know what you call it, heaven for those that are motorhome. But everywhere you went, people were travelling lots and lots by motorhome. And I guess that's quite a good way to go because you can fend for yourself with a lot of your meals. Because cost of living in New Zealand is expensive, just to let people know that. I don't want to put a downer on New Zealand at all, not at all. But just so that you know, like it's not cheaper than here.
Right.
It would be like here or sometimes a little bit dearer. So you've just got to keep that in mind when you travel. But petrol or diesel is nearly up to $4 there now. So the cost of fuel is more expensive than here too. They haven't had any rebates or anything on their fuel. So, you know, the Strait of Hormuz, this is going to be ongoing, isn't it, for quite some time that we're going to suffer in the tourism industry ongoing, I think, with pricing and so on. Well, you don't have a choice.
We'll see what happens and keep our fingers crossed.
But anyhow, I mean, that's just to give you an idea of some of the bits and bobs we've done so far.
And you've only covered, what, a few days?
A few days.
Okay.
out of 26.
Right. Okay. We're going to have a busy few weeks.
We are.
We are. All right. We'll get to Hot Deals next on 2NURFM.
Hot Deals. Okay. We're talking New Zealand today, so why not throw in a few New Zealand ones?
Definitely.
I thought we'd start with family holidays because it's a lovely place to take kids. I think just the outdoors, the whole outdoor thing, the adventure, I think really is an appealing destination for children. And obviously it gets them off the
internet and the iPads and devices.
Yeah, so there's some good packages that they've put together out here called Family Holidays Collection, which they're created especially or specifically with families in mind. So there's something for every budget, every kind of family adventure, you know, anything from a four-day escape if you just want to get away for a little getaway, or a 22-day, you know, tour of both islands. So all these are including either, you know, car hire or motorhome hire. And what they do, they throw in some accommodation in some of these as well. So you're getting your car hire, you're getting, for example, a North Island trilogy, which is just two nights in Auckland, two nights in Rotorua, your five-day car hire. You get a tour of Waitomo Caves, the Ruakuri Caves, and also an evening cultural experience and a two-and-a-half-hour Hobbiton movie set tour.
Yes, he says.
So that's just one to give you an idea. There's another eight-day one that does seven nights throughout the North Island, obviously including Rotorua and Waitomo again. And there's also lots of longer ones as well. But just keep that in mind. They're quite good for families because you're getting some accommodation, car hire included, you know, so that's your transport. And when you add that to a family, four people in a car is per person, that works out at a quite economical way of travelling.
Yeah, that's right.
So even though your fuel is a bit more expensive than here, it's still going to work out cheaper in the long run for you to do it like that as a family, I think.
Yeah. Well, you had me at Hobbiton. There you go. Nerd alert.
Oh, dear, that's sad, isn't it? Nerd alert. Also for those who you know, don't want to be independent, and, of course, there's lots of people who like, you know, everything organised for them, you know, particularly if you're elderly or you're not comfortable driving on, you know, roads that can be, you know, difficult, you know, the terrain and everything when you're not used to driving on roads like that. So this is a 10-day South Island tour, which is great, which is a saving of up to $600 per couple. And, of course, it's doing all the things that I'll continue to talk about, including like the majestic Milford Sound, Queenstown, Dunedin. You do the Transalpine Rail Journey, which is just marvellous, going across from Christchurch across to the West Coast. There's multiple departures on this between September this year and May next year. So you've got that $600 per couple off that. There's also 10-day New Zealand South Island tours that include lots more than that, including Lady Earnslaw cruise on Lake Wakatipu, and which we did in that steamship's been going 130 years, you know.
Wow, and it hasn't broken down? Oh, well, I'm sure it has at some point.
We can't even keep our ferries, can we, going?
No, that's fantastic.
And here we go, and they've got it's the only fully operating coal-fired steamship in the Southern Hemisphere.
That's fantastic.
So there you go, the Lady Earnslaw. And they've got like you can see them with all the pistons and the engine going. You can see them putting the coke and the coal into the fire, and it's just amazing. But it goes at 12 knots, which is amazing speed for an old girl.
Yeah,
so
sure.
You know, but that's one of the experiences you can have as well. And also you get a Milford Sound cruise, including lunch. So, look, there's lots of lovely things included in these itineraries for you. It's nearly all your meals, all your sightseeing. You're getting four-star accommodation, et cetera, plus you get your flights. So it's quite worthwhile. Getting away from New Zealand, well, Colette, they operate tours worldwide, just about every country or continent you would like. And they've got savings at the moment of up to 15% couple, save through to 1 June. So if you're doing any tour, talked to people recently, even people that were on our trip, they said they just love Colette. Again, small group touring, good standard of accommodation, quality meals, everything's included again, your tipping, your tours, you know, so it's a good way to go if you want to just sit back, chill out and let someone else do it all for you. Plus, I think when you're doing a tour, you've got to remember you're getting information, you're getting your guide, you're learning the history. You know, if you drive around on your own, that's good if you want to be independent. You'd still have to maybe book a few tours along the way so you catch up on what you're seeing and what you're doing. But when you're doing a tour, you've got that guide, you know, telling you everything every day about what you're doing. So it's quite worthwhile to do it that way. And also Backroads Touring, just to let you know, have introduced new tours for 2027. A lot of new tours. They've been operating for around 40 years now. And they're also price freezing their 2026 prices for 2027 until 30 June. So you've got up till 30 June to get it at this year's price for next year. And they've got a couple of new tours doing all around Yorkshire, which is just lovely, just concentrating on Yorkshire for 8 days. And Iceland, they're doing one in Iceland as well, doing all the springs and the waterfalls and Balkan treasures, Albania, North Macedonia and Kosovo as well. So they've got some new tours as well as all their usual tours. So look, there's still lots of things out there that you can take advantage of and book early. You know, it's a better way to go. I think you can save, you can, you know, put a bit down, pay your deposit and just keep ticking away at it.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think by the time your balance is due, whether it's 2 months before or whatever, then you know you've got it there ready, all ready to go. And I think it's treat a bit like a lay-by, I think, and that you have put a little account aside or something, your travel account, and just put so much into that every week. You'd be surprised how much it adds up at the end of a year if you're booking a year ahead.
Well, that was good advice. Thank you very much, Sally. And we'll catch up with you next week to hear more about your New Zealand trip.
Yes.
This is 2NURFM.